So I'm here with Kirby Fenwick on air, pre-recorded though, because unfortunately she does have to work on Monday. Sad for you, Kirby. So basically, can you explain how you got involved in AFL and now AFLW and well, what role you kind of have with reporting and things like that?
Yeah, look, I mean, I grew up in country Victoria, so you can't really escape AFL. Yeah, I grew up around a country footy club. My brothers both played football and my dad played football and was involved with the club. So, yeah, Aussie rules has always been a big part of my life. I'm a lifelong Western Bulldogs supporter and love my club very, very, very much.
Yep.
And the advent of the AFLW really kind of, I say this a lot and it sounds a little bit ridiculous, but it did change my life. Yeah,
and
when AFLW was announced.
Many people's lives, I think, which is huge.
Oh, I really think so too. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I'm alone in that.
No.
Absolutely.
So many people I hear saying, I never thought there was a possibility. A lot of women who are older now saying, well, I would have played if I could have. I'm just
thinking
of a netball coach whose name escapes me at the top of my head. And so now you're reporting for The Guardian, obviously, and you have your podcast as well. So how did that come about, the reporting for AFLW? Which I'm not saying is all you do, but I know this is what we're talking about today.
Yeah, look, I after the first season, I actually made an audio documentary called The First Friday in February. I interviewed about 40, I can't remember exactly, women who went to that game about their memories and their experiences and what it meant to them. And, one of the sports editors at the time, Cato Halloran, who is now a really great friend of mine, asked me to write a piece for The Guardian about why I made that documentary. And it kind of kicked off from there, and I've continued to write bits and pieces for all them over the last couple of years, and it's been really fun. It's really cool to write about something that you feel so passionately about.
Absolutely. So I want to talk now what's currently going on, and it is daily headlines coming up as well. I'm going to separate the two issues. I'm going to separate pay and games, I think. I think that's a fair thing to do. Well, first thing I want to ask you is there a dispute at the moment, and where is the conflict coming from?
Yeah, there's absolutely some conflict at the moment. There is supposed to be a new CBA going in, a collective bargaining agreement in place between the AFL and the players of the AFLW to sort of kickstart season 2020.
Which starts in February, which isn't that far away.
That's right. It's very, very close. And what has sort of come out this afternoon or Sunday afternoon is that they needed the AFLPA or the AFL Players Association needed 75% of the players to vote yes in favour of signing the agreement, and they didn't get that 75%, which means that there is a chunk of players, and I understand it's about 30% of the AFLW players that are not happy with the current CBA and the conditions, whether that's around the pay or the games or, you know, whatever else. I think there's also some issues there where they feel like there has been a lack of transparency and they don't feel like they have been informed properly, or, you know, don't feel like the AFLPA has had their best interests at heart.
Yeah, so I noticed that there's only one female AFLW representative on the AFLPA, is that correct?
Yeah, there's only one. Meg Downey from Melbourne is the player that's on the board, and I think that's really problematic when you think about the AFLW is such a quickly evolving and changing and growing competition. There is so much happening with it and so many very unique challenges that are very specific to women's football and women's sport more broadly.
Yep.
And I don't think having one person on the board of the organisation that's supposed to be looking after the interests of the players is enough.
No.
I really don't think it's enough.
So what's happened? So at the moment, so 2020, we're adding four new teams. And so what is that doing in terms of games? Are they adding more rounds, or is this still something that's up for dispute or, well, discussion?
Yeah, well, I think that's one of the real big sticking points for a lot of the players is they want to play every team in the competition. Last year we had the conference system, which was incredibly controversial and continued to be throughout the entire season. you know, we had these two conferences, five teams in each conference. You played every team in your conference, and then you played these two crossover games.
Yeah.
So there was, you know,
and there was some
games
discrepancy.
And then finals.
There was some discrepancy really between was. between the conferences. That's
fair
to say.
They were unevenly weighted. I think you could pretty confidently say.
Yeah.
And you know, we're now looking at this is going to be the conference system again in 2020. That's what the AFL is proposing. They're saying it'll be 8 weeks, and then there'll be 3 weeks of finals. So,
so how do you figure with the extra team? What happens there? Have they figured?
I really don't know.
It's an uneven number.
It is, and you end up not playing every team in the competition, and that seems like just really strange. You know, when you think about sports that have conferences, they tend to have like really big competitions with lots and lots of teams. And
well, you're looking at the NBA as a conference system, but
absolutely.
And the NFL, but they're huge. Like,
they're huge in comparison to a 14-team, you know, competition. There really is no reason why they shouldn't play every team. And I think the sticking point is that I don't think the broadcasters are on board with that.
Okay,
I think that from you know from my sort of outside position looking in and, and reading between the lines of things, it looks very much like the broadcasters are not on board with. Having that 13 round home and away season, which is super disappointing that the sort of development of this league could be sort of controlled by, you know, commercial interests like a broadcaster.
Well, I mean, from someone who I didn't go to, but the 2008 Olympics, which switched swimming heats to afternoon and finals in the morning. Yeah, we understand how important broadcasting can be, powerful.
And it is absolutely important, and we do want to get women's sport and you know the AFLW into homes and on TV screens wherever we can, absolutely, but.
Well, I misspoke. I mean powerful. I'm not necessarily on board with what's happening. I agree with you. It's not going to help the sport get where it needs to get if
more games helps the sport get where it needs to get. You know, treating the competition really seriously and saying, yes, every team does need to play each other once, and we do need to have a 13-round home and away competition with a final series attached to that.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the AFL just needs to, I feel like they're being really hesitant about this, and they're sort of like, you know, trying to push the slowly thing. But, you know, women's football is exploding at the grassroots level. Like, the growth is incredible. And anyone who is involved in grassroots footy, I am involved in it myself.
Me
and
too. We've gone to three teams over, you know, almost overnight. It's unbelievable when you could barely get
incredible.
One. Yeah.
Yeah. So when you see what's happening at the grassroots level and then you look at what's happening at this elite level, it's so frustrating because you just feel like, the AFL doesn't, maybe they just don't get it. I just feel like they just maybe don't quite get it. And they're not sort of, taking it by the horns, I guess, and really running with it, which is what they should be doing because the growth of the game is in women and girls.
So in
that
terms
is where we're seeing growth.
So in terms of pay now, because it is a bit of it does come down to how many weeks they play and then how much they get paid. I mean, it is phenomenally low anyway. And these women, many of them have families and other jobs, and so what's happening in terms of the pay is that secondary to are we trying to figure out the length of this competition first, or is it pay as well at the same time? How important is that issue from what you understand?
Yeah, from what I understand, pay is also a concern, but it's probably more so perhaps the sort of lack of transparency around that. And and from what I understand, there has been a suggestion that there would be some sort of 21% increase, but it looks like it's probably more accurately around the 7% increase is what I've read.
Okay.
So I think there are some concerns around that. But I mean, the pay issue has been ongoing from the beginning because you're talking about, you know, they say that, you know, we're only going to have players, you know, engaged for 10 hours, you know, during the season, and I think it was 13 hours or something in pre-season. And I think you're talking about a bunch of women who are incredibly passionate and committed and love the game and love what they're doing. They're not just spending 13 hours at the club or training or preparing for their season. They're spending a hell of a lot more than that.
Yes.
And they're making incredible sacrifices with regards to their own education and their own careers and their own sort of families. So I think the pay has always been a real sort of sticking point. It's always been something that's frustrated me. And I think it's probably ongoing. And yes, it is absolutely connected to the length of the season, because if we have a longer season, then the pay has to increase accordingly.
So just to wrap up here as well, what is the next step for the girls as it stands, sorry, the ladies as it stands now, or for the women, I should say, as it stands now, what's the next sort of step for them?
Yeah, well, because this has been knocked back by the players, the agreement has been, they said no to the agreement. The understanding is that the AFLPA will go to, from what I understand, there has been, what I've read this afternoon is that there has been, I think it's like four clubs that were sort of unanimous in their support of the agreement, a couple more that were sort of, you know, leaning more towards yes, and then there was a couple of clubs that were sort of very much no. So it sounds like the AFLPA will have to go back to those clubs and to the players and sort of say, okay, where are we at? What do we need to do? And the question is whether the AFL is prepared to come to the party in terms of negotiation to sort of get this over the line and to get, you know, season 2020 happening. So
it looks like it's a way. Is it possible that the season wouldn't happen? They can't find an agreement? Is that at all a possibility? I mean, it's too popular,
I'd be absolutely,
I think. Yeah.
I'd be devastated, to be honest, myself. But I would be really, really shocked if it came to that. I think the sort of bad press and what that would look like.
Absolutely,
is something the AFL won't want to go down, won't want to go down that road. I think they'll be sort of really, really wanting to make something happen, and it'll just be a matter of whether, you know, we can find a happy compromise where everybody is happy. But
so dig in, girls. Yeah, dig in.
Look, I absolutely support them. Absolutely. Get out. You know, I think the, you know, the people that have engaged, you know, legal advice, I think that's absolutely a smart thing to do. You're talking about a really significant contract in your life. You absolutely should engage legal advice, particularly when the organisation that's tasked with looking after you does not appear to be doing that.
Absolutely.
I absolutely support them to do what they can to get the best deal that they can for themselves, but also for the future of the competition. I don't think this is just about season 2020. It's about, you know, season 2030 and season 2040 and what the women of the AFLW are doing now.
We can only hope, Kirby. I'm just going to have to leave you there. Thank you so much.
Thank you
for your time.